This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Exactly 1 year from the day she entered the race, she's out.
I have looked at the numbers every way, every which way. And unfortunately, there is no path that I can responsibly, in good faith, lead my supporters on that results in me becoming governor this year.
State Senator Sonia Chang Diaz has officially announced that she is dropping out of the governor's race, leaving Attorney General Maura Healey as the lone Democrat running in the primary. She'll presumably face the winner of the Republican primary between Chris Doty and Jeff Diehl in the general election this fall. The announcement came at a press conference just this morning, exactly 1 year after announcing her candidacy. And WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks was there, and now he's here to join us and catch us up on it. Anthony, thanks for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Tiziana.
So why'd she drop out?
Well, as she said, she looked at the numbers. She concluded that there was no viable way to win the governor's race. You know, and in terms of those numbers, we can just talk about one, money raised between January and June. Maura Healey raised $2.3 million. She's got millions more than that cash on hand. Chang Diaz raised just $468,000. So money is a big issue in this game. I think she also looked at the polling. She's running against Maura Healey, who has won twice statewide. Sonia Chang Diaz is having a hard time getting noticed across the state. I think that's a reason. And so you put it all together, and she said, now, let's be very clear. She says she's going to remain on the ballot because she wants voters to have a choice, but she's not going to be campaigning for governor. Instead, she's going to be campaigning in support of a slate of progressive candidates. But she is out, for all intents and purposes, of the race for governor.
So we have seen, Anthony, other candidates at this stage in a primary season pretty much not have a clear path, but they stay in. Are you surprised by this announcement today?
You know, it's a good question. So we got a word from the campaign at the end of the day yesterday that there was going to be a major announcement. And one of the things today, this morning, and one of the first things I thought, is she going to drop out? I was unsuccessful in getting a clear answer from the campaign because I wanted to keep that under wraps for a few hours. I honestly thought she was going to stay in the race because just a couple of weeks ago, she did well enough at the Democratic convention to win a place on the convention. And even if it seemed very unlikely that she could beat Maura Healey, it seemed to me that she would be able to sort of nip at Maura Healey's heels and kind of push the progressive agenda. So yeah, I think I was a little surprised that she dropped out this morning.
All right. So as I understand it, she framed part of this around a concept called Courage Democrats. Can you tell us about that?
Right. Instead of campaigning for governor, she's going to support a slate of progressive candidates. These are the folks she calls Courage Democrats. She had a number of them there with her today. So she really tried to frame this as this campaign, this historic push, this move for progressive policies and to get Beacon Hill to act on a number of issues is not over. Here's a little bit of what she said about that.
Instead of campaigning to ask people to vote for me, I am announcing a slate of Courage Democrats that I will be asking my supporters to marshal behind. I'm going to be spending my time campaigning for amazing candidates down ballot who walk the walk when it comes to their values.
So that's what she's going to be doing between now and the primary and the November election. But let's be clear, she's not going to be campaigning for governor. And I think it's going to be a lot harder for her to get the kind of visibility to support these candidates. But that's where her focus is right now.
So this word progressive is pretty important and pretty interesting because she ran sort of pushing Maura Healey in framing towards the center, running as a strong progressive. We just saw Boston Mayor Michelle Wu run a successful campaign as a progressive. So what do you make of Chang Diaz in this moment not making that work for her when we saw it work for Wu?
Well, one word, statewide. It's a lot harder to run a race statewide. Mayor Michelle Wu had the advantage of focusing her campaign in Boston, where she had won citywide twice. Boston is a very liberal, progressive city. That's not necessarily the way the whole state maps out politically. The other thing is the money that I mentioned. The other thing is just getting noticed. I talked to Ricardo Arroyo. He's a city councilor. He's running for district attorney for Suffolk County. He's part of this slate of progressive candidates that Chang Diaz wants to support. And he just talked about how difficult it is to mount a statewide campaign as a reason for why Chang Diaz had to drop out.
And that's incredibly hard to do. And when you elevate that to a statewide race, it's even harder.
So Arroyo says he's flattered that he's going to be part of this slate of progressive candidates that she's going to be supporting. But again, Sonia Chang Diaz is not going to be running for governor.
So you want to talk about changing the landscape. This changes the landscape for Maura Healey, attorney general and the remaining Democratic candidate for governor. Have we heard from her campaign yet or from her?
Yeah, she put out a statement saying that she's deeply grateful to Senator Sonia Chang Diaz for her many years of service to Massachusetts and her inspired leadership during the campaign. She goes on, I look forward to continuing to partner with Senator Chang Diaz to bring people together and make Massachusetts work for all our families. So that's what we heard just this morning from Attorney General Maura Healey, who now, as you suggested, has a pretty, I mean, it already looked very likely that she was going to win the Democratic nomination for governor. Now her path is even clearer.
So I want to thread together a few different concepts here, Anthony. So you've got Healey in a state where traditionally we've kind of liked Republican governors, despite being a progressive and liberal state. She was being cast by Sonia Chang Diaz as a middle-of-the-road candidate, which you just said in a statewide race actually might be more appealing. She, of course, always pushed back and said, no, I'm a progressive. But how does this, does losing a foil affect her in any negative way, or does this just open up a wide lane for her, especially given how she's been polling?
So this is a really good question, and I want to answer it. But I want to come back to this idea of Maura Healey being a moderate or not a progressive. It's true that she's not as progressive on some big sort of issues that Sonia Chang Diaz was pushing. For example, single-payer health care or debt-free college. Maura Healey was more moderate on those issues. But, you know, Maura Healey also makes the case that she's a progressive on a number of issues that are, you know, near and dear to progressives, like marriage equality. She was an original sort of fighter on that issue, like protecting abortion rights, like gun control issues, which are very front and center today. She's been way out in front on that. So Maura Healey, it's hard to describe her as a political moderate, even if she wasn't as far to the left as Sonia Chang Diaz. Now, in terms of what this does to her campaign, I think Maura Healey would have been better off with Sonia Chang Diaz running against her until the primary, because it would have, in a way, have kept her on her toes and made her a sharper, better candidate when she faces whoever the Republican is in the fall. So now she has to be careful not to sort of coast all the way to November, right?
All right. So last question on this. I just want you to put this up against the Republican side where you've got Chris Doty and Jeff Diehl running against each other. Does this affect that, or do they stay in separate lanes till we get to the general?
I think they're in separate lanes for now. I think Jeff Diehl has very much the insider track. We saw him win 70%+ of Republican delegates at the Republican state convention. So I think he's in the pole position to win the Republican nomination for governor. But we'll see if Chris Doty can mount a credible challenge to him in the weeks ahead.
Okay, so it turned out to be fortuitous for us that you were here to talk to us about Sonia Chang Diaz, because as we have awaited Supreme Court cases, we always knew we'd want to talk to you when the gun case came down, and it came down just before the show. So now the Supreme Court has ruled essentially that a New York gun law that required people to get permission to carry a gun outside of the home was unconstitutional. So just give us a quick rundown.
Right. So the Supreme Court struck down a century-old New York law that basically placed strict limits on who can carry guns out in public. The law basically allowed licensing authorities, usually the police, to decide who gets a gun permit, a concealed carry permit, or a permit to carry in public places. But Second Amendment activists challenged the law, saying that the right to carry is a constitutional right and you shouldn't have to apply for it. And the court's conservative majority agreed with that and struck down the law 6-3. Clarence Thomas said that an individual's right to carry a handgun for self-defense outside the home is protected by the Constitution, and it's worth noting that several other states, including Massachusetts, have similar laws on the books, so they will now be subject to legal challenge. And the result of this is going to be a whole lot more guns in public spaces at a time when America is trying to come to terms with an epidemic of gun violence.
All right, so I want to break a bunch of this down, and I'll use a term I think is a legal term, prima facie, which means in the first place. So basically what the court is saying is, you're in the first place, anywhere you live in the country, you have a right to carry a firearm outside the home unless you give the government some particular reason to take away that right. Is that correct?
Yeah. This is the first major decision in a long time that the Supreme Court has rendered on gun rights. The last one was Heller, the Heller decision, which basically said you have a right to keep a gun in your home. But it also at the same time said that it is okay and constitutional to impose various restrictions on who can carry, how guns can be carried, where guns can be carried, and so on and so forth. This, in a way, redoes Heller and opens up gun rights and makes them much more liberal. And again, gives a lot more people the ability to carry guns without licenses in public across the country. And it's going to have an effect here in Massachusetts as well.
Because, and this is part two, because in Massachusetts, it has been our state's law that you don't automatically have a right to carry a gun outside the home. You have to get permission from your local chief of police, is it?
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. The chief of police in most cases is the licensing authority. So if you want to carry a gun outside your home, you go to the police and you have to present a pretty strong argument, like your life is at risk for some reason, or maybe you're a security guard who's carrying around bundles, a freelance security guard carrying around bundles of cash in and out of businesses. You need a weapon to protect yourself. But you can't just sort of go to them and say, okay, I'm going to carry a gun, give me a license. And basically, the Supreme Court said, yes, you have that right. And so that's going to be a big change here in Massachusetts, which, by the way, prides itself on some of the lowest levels of gun violence in the country. And one of the reasons, advocates will tell you, is because of the menu of laws, including the law about who can carry a gun where, are on the books. Now, this is going to be subject to challenge here in Massachusetts, as well as in states like California, Maryland, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Hawaii.
Now, as you've acknowledged to me before, our gun laws in Massachusetts are actually kind of complicated. What we're talking about in this case is handguns. You just said we have lower gun violence in Massachusetts. Isn't it the case that just recently Massachusetts was touting our sort of regime or approach as a good solution for around the country? And now,
absolutely. Yeah. You heard our Republican Governor Charlie Baker bragging about Massachusetts' approach to gun violence. And it's really important to keep in mind that it's not just one law. It's a whole series of laws, including an assault weapons ban, including this concealed carry law, including gun storage laws, including background checks, a whole series of laws. So this is one piece in that menu of strict gun laws that is now going to come loose.
Were policymakers ready for this? I mean, we knew this, some result was coming from the court on this.
Yeah, I think we've been anticipating that this was the way this conservative court was going, and policymakers are now going to have to sort of think about what they can do. I don't think they can continue. I mean, first of all, my understanding, and Tiziano, I'd be very clear, this case just broke, came down,
right,
you know, less than an hour ago. I haven't even read the whole opinion. But my understanding is the law in Massachusetts will remain on the books until it is challenged.
Oh.
And it will likely be challenged because Second Amendment rights are very, Second Amendment advocates are very eager to do that. And once it's challenged, it's probably going to come off the books. So there are other things that lawmakers will consider in terms of tightening up. But in terms of keeping a law like this in place or finding a creative workaround to keep a law like this in place and constitutional, I'm not sure how they do that.
So we have 30 seconds left. I don't want to bury a key point that you made early in this part of the discussion, which is around what it means for high crowded areas. So just bring that home one more time.
Yeah, well, this is important to realize. I mean, one of the things that the defenders of this law made clear is it's one thing to have a law like this in a state in Wyoming. But when you're talking about urban states with crowded urban areas, to now essentially lift the floodgates, if you will, and allow more people to carry guns in crowded places, you know, this is putting more guns in the hands of more people, including people who probably shouldn't have guns. So I don't see how gun violence goes down as a result of this decision from the High Court.
All right. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, both thanks, because I just learned a ton. And tip of the hat, because this all went down in like the last 2 hours.
Exciting
Thank
morning.
You so much.
My
I really
pleasure,
appreciate
Tiziana.
It.